The scripture reading today is found in Matthew 22:34-40. And in my Bible, it's entitled The Greatest Commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. God bless you, Randy, as you bring the meditation.
Well, thank you, Shelby, for reading scripture. And I just want to say again, it's just awesome to be together out here and worship God. And we couldn't have asked for a more beautiful day. Amen. This is worship at its best, in my opinion. As was mentioned, the theme for Community Night this year is Following God. And for the sermon title this morning, I added Together. Following God Together. And it really fits quite closely with our vision statement here at Whitmer Heights Mennonite, which is figuring out together. There's a significant word there. Figuring out, not alone, but together. Figuring out together how to follow Jesus and make our community and the world a better place. And the other thing this year that we've been talking a bit about is our own spiritual growth with God. How are we as individuals and as a community together growing in our relationship with God, with one another, with our neighbors? And kind of related to that is, how do we grow in our relationship with God and others? And I've been talking about this word called spiritual disciplines, or another phrase is spiritual practices. And really, it's through spiritual practices and these disciplines that we do together and individually that help us to grow. Let me give some examples here in some other areas. How many of you have ever practiced for a sport? I see a lot of hands. How many of you have ever practiced for music? I see a lot of hands again. How many of you have ever practiced woodworking and projects? More. How many of you have practiced painting? Man, excellent. In all of these different areas, whether it be sports or music, learning how to sew or quilt, learning how to paint or work with wood, learning how to do your job, you don't just learn it right away. It takes practice. And you know, it's the same in our spiritual growth. It takes practice. It takes learning together. I like to, Stanley Hauerwas, who is a retired theologian now, says that we are all students in church, learning together. And I love that idea of being students together. We're learning, we're practicing together what it means to be a part of God's family. How do we learn together what it means to receive God's love? What does it look like to practice together how to love one another? and how to love our neighbors. We have to practice it together. One of the spiritual practices that we want to focus on this month is the practice of study. Did you guys know that that's a spiritual practice, studying? And specifically, studying Scripture. In the context of studying Scripture, we actually see that in our verses today. The Pharisees and the Sadducees have done a lot of studying of the Old Testament Scriptures, called the Torah. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the ruling class of Israel. They had a lot of power. They were the ones kind of in church politics. They knew the rules and regulations better than anyone because they had studied it for many, many years. And so here we find that the Pharisees probably were in a little bit of a scuffle with the Sadducees. And to try to get back at them, they were going to test Jesus. Because they knew the law. They had studied the law to the T. And they thought they could get Jesus here. And so one of them, it says, who's a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? While the Pharisees and Sadducees certainly had studied a lot, and they knew Scripture very well, Jesus kind of shows us that they kind of missed the point of how study is a spiritual practice that contributes to growth spiritually. See, for the Pharisees and Sadducees, it was more of a contest. It was more of a way to elevate their status, to see who could be more spiritual by being more holy and right. Who knew more? Who could recite it better than the other person? Who knew the law better than the other person? It was a competition. But they missed the spirit of the whole point of the law, which, Jesus tells us, is to love God with all of who you are and to love your neighbor. See, study is an important spiritual discipline, but not so much that the way the Pharisees and Sadducees were doing it, but the way that Jesus shows us. Studying as a spiritual discipline in Scripture is not about a competition or about keeping track and then feeling bad about not reading as much as your friend did. That's missing the point. The way that we want to encourage biblical study is in the context of being a part of a story. The Bible story. And when we read this story and when we allow this story to be a part of who we are, it will change us. It will transform us. See, spiritual practice of study is one where we are formed into the image of Christ. As we read these stories in the Bible about who God is and God's love for us through Jesus, and as we receive that love and we read all of these stories of these many different characters in Scripture who are also figuring out how to follow Jesus and how to be a part of God's story, we see all of the many times that they mess up and they don't get it right, and the times that they do figure it out and get it right. We see Jesus' disciples walking together, following Jesus, seeing him perform miracles, seeing him cast out demons, seeing him share about God the Father's love. And we see women and men trying to understand what it means that Jesus will die on a cross and then be resurrected again, so that they could have new life. But that was hard to figure out for those disciples. And we read all about that. But guess what? We're doing the same thing. We're trying to figure it out too, what it means that Jesus died for us and rose again. And that Jesus also wants to give us new life together. And just as the characters in this story didn't always get it, let's be honest, we don't always get it either. I don't always get it. It's hard. It's hard to receive that kind of love and to believe it. But studying the scriptures as a spiritual discipline is one where we immerse ourselves in these stories. And together, as we read them, and as we allow God's Spirit to be a part of this as we read, we believe that we will slowly be transformed into the likeness of God in God's story. Studying the Word of God in this way is one that opens us to God's love. It will affect how we live, how we interact with our neighbors, how we care about our community, the needs of others. It might make us aware of our own privilege or power. It might open us up in new ways to those on the margins. All of that is a part of spiritual growth. Because as we study the Gospels and God's story in Scripture, we slowly begin to see how our story, each of your stories, is also a part of God's story and God's love for you. And so if we were going to study this text here, we would see two significant things. How do we follow God together? The first one we're told is, as Eileen shared in Children's Time, love God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. How do you love God? We're figuring out together. I have heard from many of you how you are trying to love God. I think one of the things about loving God is that first we have to receive God's love. In our church covenant, we talk about what it means to receive God's love. I'm going to read the beginning of our church covenant. As members of God's covenant family, known as Whitmer Heights Mennonite Church, we believe that God's mercy, grace, and love, seen in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, offers us new life in Christ. God's mercy, grace, and love offered to us. See, before we can talk about how we love our neighbors, we have to first talk about how we can receive God's love through Jesus to us. We're figuring that out together each day, how to do that. How do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? How do you receive God's love? We want to try to help you figure that out together. And so if you have some questions about that, come tap us on the shoulder. We want to figure that out with you together. And then Jesus says the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love your neighbor as yourself? We just saw a great example of that with the parent in preschool this morning. A good example of how we're trying to, how the parent in preschool is trying to love their neighbors by providing a place for preschool students to come and interact with one another, have fun, learn good activities. When Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, he already knew that there would be 2,000 years of people figuring out what that looks like, and that the parent in preschool would be one of them. How cool is that? And Jesus also knew that we're not always going to get it right either. We have a lot of places, even in Whitmer Heights' own history, where we haven't always loved our neighbors as good as we could have. And we need to confess those times. And we need to ask God's forgiveness and grace. Sometimes loving our neighbors is really hard. Sometimes we've looked too much to our own needs before looking to the needs of others. But the beautiful thing is that as we confess that, God, we confess that we don't always do this as well as you have called us to. That we say this isn't on our own power, God. We need you to help us. We need your grace. We need your love. We need your Holy Spirit. As we try to figure out what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. I want to name a few places where I have seen where we are figuring out how to love God and love our neighbor. The first one. I'm a part of the Conestoga Valley Ministerium. It's a group of pastors in the community that get together once a month and we talk about how we are working together to be a positive place in our community as the churches of Conestoga Valley. And out of those conversations, there's some really cool things that come up. One of them is right here beside us, our neighbors at the police station. Did you know that the police are some of the best peacemakers in the community? While as Anabaptist Christians, we do not believe in the violence that brings peace. The police officers really don't want to use violence either, usually. But they want to be peacemakers. And one of the things at the ministerium is that the chief, John Bowman, from the police station right here in Conestoga Valley, comes to the ministerium. And because he believes in the work that the churches are doing to help to be peacemakers. And he wants his police officers to be a part of that too. I think that's really cool. And so maybe as our neighbors right here, we can be a positive example, continue to be a positive example like we are, of being peacemakers in our community, even as we share and be neighbors with the police station. Another example. Katie Wright, who is the Conestoga Valley social worker, comes to the ministerium meetings, and she shares about how things are going at Conestoga Valley High School. She shares about how the different churches in the community are helping with some of the needs in the school system. I want to share some statistics about CV. Our neighbor, 2 miles away. Total number of families assisted, 202. Number of food referrals, 82. Number of clothing referrals, 86. Number of homeless families identified, 60. Number of CV homeless students, 90. Number of medical referrals, 43. These are our neighbors. And we are figuring out how to love these neighbors on the margins. And I'm grateful that Katie comes to this ministerium and gives us these numbers and encourages us in ways that we can get involved to help meet some of these needs. Ways that we are already connecting. Another example. If you watch the news on Friday and Saturday, you would have seen a Mennonite Disaster Service report. They were in the warehouse showing different volunteers that came and were helping to make toolkits that Brett helped to put together. Now we're going to go into the trailers to go down. And I saw John Landis. Where's John? Yeah, I saw John there helping out and serving. I know that there was others too that were helping to serve. And that was really cool. That we can get involved in the community in that way through our financial donations, through serving in the warehouse, and through our prayers. And I think in the next week we're going to have another way that we can be more aware of the work MDS is doing, hopefully next Sunday. And an opportunity to share our gifts and offerings for the disasters happening at Harvey and Irma. That is a way that we are loving neighbors and loving God. Another example. All of you, in different ways, connect with neighbors. And I think it's cool that there is a neighborhood gathering Dean and Jan and Esther and Ernie could share more about this, but my understanding is that for many years they have a picnic together once a year, and that you're a part of that. So that's one example of connecting with your neighbors and eating together. Maybe you're thinking of different contexts in your neighborhood where you connect with neighbors. How else do we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves? In conclusion, as we immerse ourselves in this great story of God's love for us, as we study it and it becomes a discipline that grows us and transforms us, we do it together. We do it together. Following God together. This isn't something to do alone, my friends. I certainly can't do it alone. We need community. That's the way God has written it. That's the way God designed this great story, that we do it together. Spiritual growth happens in your own personal disciplines and in the disciplines that we do together. We are the people of God who learn together how to follow God. Like students, learning. It's time to get back into the books. When we have our sharing time, if you have a word of how you are loving God and loving your neighbor together, share it with us. Because we really are figuring it out together. The sermon is just one piece of it. Joy, I think Joy Gaiman said one time, sharing time is her favorite part of the worship service. I agree with that. I think sharing time is so significant. Because in a small church community like ours, it's that opportunity to confess where we don't always get it right, and to name where we see God at work, and to help us learn together what it means to be a part of loving God and loving our neighbor. And so if this is your first time visiting us, we're so glad that you're here. Welcome. You're welcome to come back. Come to our community night. And God bless.